I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is TC Daily, the technology show brought to you by Tech Central. If you haven't subscribed yet, check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/TechCentral. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell icon, and never miss an update. You can also get all the latest technology news, interviews, and views on techcentral.co.za. Subscribe to our newsletter there. You'll also get access to TC Daily and all the other tech shows and content that we produce. Now, I said a couple of days ago when we started this show that we're going to be interviewing interesting people in the tech sector in South Africa. And I have a very interesting person to talk to in the chair opposite me now, Andy Higgins. Andy, is it fair to call you a veteran of e-commerce in South Africa? Or
I don't know. I feel we're still on sort of day one with e-commerce in South Africa. So that feels a little bit too soon to call.
A bit premature.
Yes.
But you've been around the block a few times, if I can put it that way. Everyone knows you're the founder of Bid or Buy, one of the early e-commerce ventures in South Africa, which I think you founded in the height of the dot-com boom, didn't you?
That's right. 1999. Yep.
Interesting time to start a business.
Yes, no, I was a young 23-year-old then. I didn't know too much, so didn't have much to lose either. So, but of course, soon after that, the crash happened, and then I guess it got a lot more difficult after that.
Well, you've got a new venture, which we're going to be talking about today, quite an interesting new development in your career and what you're doing in the e-commerce space in South Africa. But let's go back and have a look at Bid or Buy and some of the history. I know there's a lot of ground to cover, and we're not going to get through it all in this particular episode of the show. But I know that you've had your ups and downs over the years. You founded Bid or Buy back in 1999. You said as a 23-year-old?
Yes.
What possessed you to start a dot-com?
Well, I was actually in the UK at the time. Mm-hmm. And, actually, prior to that, I'd been in the US. I was working on super yachts in the US. And I tried to get a job in the US, and I didn't have the right work permit. So
okay.
I was able to work in the UK. So I found myself there. And I worked for an early-stage startup company there in 1998 called QXL, which eventually went on to list on the London Stock Exchange and be valued at, in the billions of dollars.
As everything did back then, yeah.
Yes. Of course, crashed soon after that. And that's sort of where I sort of got to know it was an online auction site, and I got to learn how to and assisted from a technical point of view to launch across a number of countries in Europe. Mm. But I was homesick. I wanted to come back to South Africa, and that was the one thing I knew how to do. And I was excited about the internet and what it could offer. So that's kind of all I knew. I was very naive at the time, but I was also very fortunate to make contact with some initial investors then who offered to put up some cash to start what became Bid or Buy, although they said I was thinking too small with South Africa, and they said we needed to go more global because mm-hmm. eBay was dominating North America, QXL was in Europe.
We forget back then how big online auction sites were. I mean,
absolutely,
eBay was the big king of e-commerce at the time.
Absolutely. Back then, they only offered auctions. Now, more than most items get sold in a fixed price format. But back then, it was only auctions. And I think eBay had just listed on the NASDAQ, and they were booming. And so our dream back then was to conquer other parts of the world, Asia, mm-hmm. and even other parts of Europe. So within a period of a few months, we actually had raised $12 million back then as a, as a young, I was 24 shortly after that. It was quite a wild ride.
Whirlwind stuff, yeah.
And we had either launched or were about to launch within a few months in 12 countries around the world, these online auction sites in multiple languages, one in Hebrew and for Israel, and it's where you read from right to left. It was quite challenging.
So you started the business here in South Africa, and then your investor said, no, we've got to go global with this
immediately. Yes. So they were like, well, South Africa is probably not the best place to be. And I remember they said, well, where do you think we should be? I hadn't traveled a whole lot. I'd been in the US and in the UK, basically. And I remember at the time, the Olympic Games was coming up in Sydney. So I thought, well, I was like, because Australia was one of the countries on the roadmap.
Right.
So I said, okay, what about Australia? And they were like, sure, that sounds good. I thought, what about Perth? That's kind of close to South Africa. They're like, no. Sydney. Okay, yes, Sydney. That's good. Let's. So I arrived in Sydney, never been there before, and prepared, and we launched these sites. Yeah. And I actually ended up dragging with me a whole lot of South Africans because obviously I didn't know anyone there.
Right.
So, some university mates ended up joining me there, and we set up shop, and it was challenging to say the least. I mean, within the same month, eBay launched, Yahoo Auctions launched. There was a lot of competition, so we had lots of early lessons and challenges, but yeah, like I say, it was quite a wild ride.
Yeah. I was just actually looking at these old Wired magazines we have on our bookshelf here in the studio, and I'm sure there's so many tales of companies like yours at the time that were chasing the gold rush of the .com.
It was. I think maybe, so you read about like the web vans and those that they were spending. I mean, we were spending a lot of money, make no mistake, but we also weren't making any money at the time. But we weren't super extravagant, like flying, you know, first class around the world and sipping champagne. So we were a bit more frugal from that point of view. But the fact that we weren't charging for our service meant that there were definitely challenges coming ahead when the markets turned.
Yeah. And they crashed in 2000. Well, when did the peak was March 2000, I think.
2000. Yes, that's correct.
And then it fell for about 18 months.
Yes.
Down and down and down and down.
It's interesting to look at it after the fact when you look at the graphs, because at the, you think of it as this big crash, but it wasn't something that just like happened all at once. It was actually quite gradual, as I remember. It was dropping, but at the time, you don't know what's coming. So it's only when you look at it.
You don't realize you were actually looking over the edge of a cliff at the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. So you'd taken this business global, but then capital was drying up around the world. What happened then?
Yeah, so we were about to raise $50 million, capital and then we were unable to do so. Mm-hmm. So what happened was one of our competitors in India, which was actually the second market we went into, they had managed to raise capital just before the crash happened, and we had basically, the short of it is, we had good tech at the time, we had built our own tech, and their tech was falling over as it was trying to scale. So what we ended up doing, well, we say we merged with them. I think they would say they acquired us, which is probably more accurate.
Okay.
And so we became in India. We became a company called Buzzy.com, which actually in 2004 got bought by eBay and it became eBay India. Mm-hmm. We ended up essentially closing down all our sites, other sites around the world that didn't have traction, with the exception of South Africa. So I lived in Sydney for 2 years and then ended up coming back to South Africa. We employed hundreds of people around the world in the company, and we had to do all the retrenchments, and it was quite a difficult time. At our lowest point, so I came back to South Africa. We went down to myself and one other person.
Sure.
And that one other person actually happens to be still working with us, which is amazing.
Who is that?
It's Samantha Naidu. She's started in customer service and now she runs the category team at Bidobai. So that sort of 2002 to 2005, I actually call the dark ages of the internet in South Africa, because it was, you know, people forget, like back then there was no ADSL even, it was dial-up. You had to pay per minute to be online. Isn't that crazy? If you think today, you want to pay per minute to be online? Like, what the heck? So it was a very dark time. And then I did what apparently a lot of people do. I went and studied. I went and did an MBA. I thought, okay, let's see how you're supposed to do this. You know? So it was part-time. So that took me up to 2008, and I think that's when things started changing a bit from then on, where internet became a bit more mainstream, ADSL became a bit had a lot more traction.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in front of my computer one day, just looking at the log files, the web server log files, as geeks sometimes do.
Sure.
And I remember seeing these search terms coming from Google, where I just saw in the log files what people were searching for, and because there wasn't a whole lot of content out there, wasn't a lot of competition, we would rank high on Google. So now I have this sort of, I guess, love-hate relationship with Google, because, you know, back then we were getting all this free organic traffic from Google, and I think that's what actually turned things around and got us on a track where we actually became profitable, although on a small scale back then. And we ended up getting, so the site started to get some traction. We got one of the big New York hedge funds, or they're still around, Tiger Global.
Oh, yes.
They showed some interest. I think we were the first African investment company that they invested in.
They invested in Takealot at one point.
They did too. Mm. Yes. I actually got the opportunity to co-invest into Takealot with them as well, because I was involved in the early stages of Takealot.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Then it was more later on that they disinvested from, I think, all the African investments,
yes.
And then I exited as well. I think it was around 2017, if I remember correctly now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that evolved. I've been involved pretty much from the beginning, but I left the company in an operational role in 2010. I went traveling. So I met my wife. We went traveling. I got married, and I came back to South Africa.
So who was running Bidobai through this period?
While they, when Tiger Global invested, the only main requirement for them to make the investment was that we hire a CFO.
Okay.
Because for them it was very important that we have someone,
watch the numbers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I hired, as it was a gentleman by the name of Jaco Jonker. He was a, you know, is a chartered accountant, and he came in and he added, I guess, made us grow up a bit, added lots of controls and that sort of thing. And that was 2008 when he joined. And so he actually took over running the business from 2010, I think, up until 2018, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so sort of in safe hands there. But of course, what happened during that time, Takealot obviously was starting to grow and become obviously the dominant marketplace in the country. And I think it's fair to say, I think my team don't really like me saying this, but obviously we dropped the ball at Burubai and kind of really stagnated as a business. We had this early start and advantage, but we didn't keep up with the evolving e-commerce trends. And so kind of stagnated over the time. And I think that, so it kind of takes us to today to a large extent.
But before you get to the announcement that you're making about the creation of this new business, there's another company that you've been involved with for some years called YouAfrica.
Yes.
What's the background to YouAfrica?
So, Bidobai actually invested in a company called Jump Shopping, which is a price comparison site.
Remember them.
To PriceCheck, if you may know. They were actually prior to PriceCheck as well. At some point, talk about this love-hate relationship with Google. Those sites tend to be very dependent on traffic, organic traffic from Google. And at some point, Google just decided to stop showing love and sending traffic after Bidobai had made investments. But we still had a small but a very competent team there. So when I came back from my travels, I'm more of the startup type guy, like the challenges of early stage business generally. So I offered to buy this business, and basically what happened there is we wanted to actually build an e-commerce software as a platform for e-commerce stores. But as we learned and sort of got more into it, we realized that a company called Shopify had actually built pretty much what we wanted. So we ended up partnering with them instead. And we essentially helped them launch Shopify into a number of African countries. And during that journey, we learned that the biggest challenge we found that merchants were facing was actually on the logistics of e-commerce. So I'd also obviously been involved in the marketplace. I'd been involved in Takealot. I was also involved with starting PayFast with Jonathan Smith. So I had a very good understanding of the payments, online payment side as well. I realized that this missing piece was the logistics side. And that's actually it's the least sexy part of this whole thing. But in my opinion now, knowing what I know now, it's the most important part to get right, actually, if you want to offer a good e-commerce offering. So YouAfrica, with the team we had there, evolved into providing e-commerce tools for online merchants. Predominantly, one way people call us an aggregator of logistics solutions. So we integrate with e-commerce platforms on the one hand and with courier companies on the other. So you can, if you go into the platform, it's kind of like a HIPPO is for insurance. We are for courier companies where you can go and get multiple quotes from multiple couriers on a per shipment basis. So per order that comes in, we fetch the quotes from multiple couriers and you can choose which courier you want to ship with based on what you're shipping and where you're shipping to. And, we manage the whole process on behalf of the sellers for their buyers, all the tracking, the submission of the shipping labels and the tracking and all of that, tracking updates.
Okay.
So that's YouAfrica. That was sort of my second, after Bidobai.
Right.
Although I did remain as a non-exec director at Bidobai during this time as well.
Okay. So you've been on the Bidobai board right through?
Yes.
Okay. Now you're merging these two businesses. You're creating a new company called?
Bob Group.
Bob Group, interesting name. Why
so
Bob Group?
It actually comes from the short of Bid or Buy. So often people refer to us as Bid or Buy. Mm-hmm. And we also introduced at Bid or Buy a payment method, which we called Bob Pay, which was the way you could pay on the marketplace itself. And that kind of stuck and we liked that. Except now we're going to expand on that and offer it outside of the marketplace as well. So we call it Bob Pay version 2. And we have some other ideas around the using the Bob as to prefix the services that we want to offer.
Okay. So you're merging Bidobai and YouAfrica into a new business that's going to offer what are you going to offer to the market?
So we're going to offer predominantly a online marketplace as we have in the past with some differences to our competitors, which I can expand on if you'd like. Secondly, we're going to offer online payments. So we're going to make it easy for our merchants to accept payments through the marketplace and on their own websites. And thirdly, we're going to offer logistics solutions again on the marketplace as well as for merchants on their own website. So that's one of the biggest points of differentiation is that we see our customer predominantly as the seller or the merchant. And we are our mission is to empower them to provide excellent service to their customers. And to some extent, we don't particularly mind whether transactions take place on the marketplace or on their own websites or other channels for that matter, because we want to be provide them with all those tools that they need wherever that transaction takes place.
Okay. So what's the target market here specifically?
So I'd say predominantly our target market would be SMEs mm-hmm. in South Africa. I mean, obviously we welcome all larger companies and all, as well. But we want to really empower the SMEs to be able to sell online mm-hmm. Through whichever channel they choose to, whichever channel their buyers choose to purchase from them.
Okay. I suppose it's quite difficult for SMEs. I mean, you've got a situation in South Africa now where you're getting some multiple very large marketplaces, and I want to talk to you a bit about how the e-commerce space is developing in South Africa mm-hmm. and is going to develop over the next couple of years. But I suppose it's quite difficult for an SME that doesn't have a logistics fulfillment arm to exactly. be able to do all these things. So you can just plug all this together and hopefully offer them a solution that allows an SME to compete with a big corporate take a lot of time.
That's exactly mm-hmm. it. And I mean, most of these small companies, they don't have the technical ability. And first and foremost, we actually see ourselves as a tech company. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's partly my roots coming from my engineering background. But we love the tech. Is to use tech to make things more efficient and to empower people to be able to using technology.
Yeah.
So yeah. So a lot of them don't have those capabilities, and so we intend to provide them with those capabilities.
Okay. And Bid or Buy, the marketplace, does it stay or?
So it will stay. Yeah. We intend to rebrand it early next year. Is our intention. One of our other points of differentiation, of course, is that we do offer the auctions, although that we do think that will become less prevalent as we move forward. But still very important for things like collectibles and coins, notes, stamps, you know, antiques, that sort of thing, where the variable pricing model is a good mechanism. So it will stay, but probably not exactly in its current form and not as prominently as
right.
it is currently.
What sort of percentage of Bid or Buy sales are through auctions?
So now that's a good question. I should know the exact percentage. It's less than half, just under half.
Okay, it's still quite significant. Yes. I had an idea it was less than that.
Yes.
Because I know eBay pivoted very much to direct selling.
Exactly, yes.
And I'd be surprised if it's half of their business now.
No, it's definitely less than half, yeah. For eBay, for sure. Yeah.
Interesting. eBay never officially launched in this country, did it?
No. They bought Gumtree, but they've since sold it again. So they don't seem to be that interested. But, of course, some other big £600 gorillas are interested, it seems.
Yes, indeed. We'll talk about them just now. Absolutely. So you say you're taking a decentralized approach to this. What do you mean by that, and how does that differ from the rest of the market?
Yes, so that is another important point of differentiation for us. Typically, for the most part, you'll see the marketplaces in South Africa, the current ones, and internationally, they would operate out of a centralized distribution center. So, for example, if you take the big blue company mm-hmm. in South Africa, they would have a large DC in Cape Town and in Johannesburg. And as a seller, if you want to sell on the marketplace, you either have to keep store your goods in that DC and you pay a fee for the storage, or you can sell where if a sale takes place, you have to commit to get the goods to that DC within a period of time, and then it will get on delivered to the buyer from there. That is what I would consider more a centralized model. So we intend to champion, and this is where our strength from UAfrica comes from, to be able to do this, the more decentralized model where it will go directly from the seller to the buyer without having to do the two hops. It just does the one hop. We believe we can make that more efficient from a speed and a cost point of view for the sellers.
Now, if I'm a merchant selling widgets and I want to sign up for this process, what's actually for this platform, Bob Group? What's involved? What do I need to?
So the easiest way to sign up would be is if you have an existing store already, because what we do is we have tools that allow you to synchronize. It's actually called Bob Sync. It's a new product that we've launched that allows you to automatically sync your products from your store directly onto the marketplace. Because one of the challenges you have when you're selling across multiple platforms is to keep your inventory up to date. So you could have one left in stock, and then you could sell it on one platform, and then someone buys it on another, and then you're left without being able to fulfill it. So this Bob Sync platform, what it does is it keeps your inventory automatically up to date. So if you get a sale on one of your channels, it automatically updates it on the other. And that's kind of like set and forget. So once you set that up, we have these tools, you just have to activate it, and then it automatically keeps your sales channels in sync. And so that's the easiest way. But of course, you can do it as a spreadsheet. You can, if you put it in the right format, you can bulk upload, mm-hmm. or you can just use a web interface to upload products. A lot of these marketplaces have more of a cataloging based system, whereas ours is a little bit more open from that perspective. So you don't actually have to link it to an existing SKU. You can just load it up. There's the friction to get going is lower.
I remember 15 or 20 years ago when e-commerce was starting to take off, particularly B2B e-commerce, everyone was talking about XML as being the solution to everything in e-commerce, and do a lot of what you've been talking about now. Is XML still a thing, or?
The concept is still the same. So it's now would be JSON. So okay. JSON, J-S-O-N. So that's a more robust format for exchange of data between mm-hmm. two different computers. The concept is the same, but it's moved on from JSON.
I don't know where I dragged that up from. Yeah. Just remembered it now, writing all about extensible markup language back in the early 2000s. Okay, great. And this platform, I believe, is built all on top of AWS, right?
Yes, so all of our infrastructure is hosted on AWS. We believe it's the best tool for the job for what we're doing. It gives us great scalability, and it's come a long way from the early days when we used to spend a lot of time in the data center ourselves trying to replace damaged hard drives or whatever the case. Now we just can sit on a computer and click a few buttons, and even if come Black Friday, we can set auto-scaling rules. And that part of the business has changed so much in the last 2 decades from what we used to experience before.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago when I remember Black Friday deals were crashing websites, but it doesn't seem to happen anymore.
Yeah, so you could also throw a lot of money and hardware at it, and it could still crash. So you need both that and a good development team that makes sure that it doesn't do things it's not supposed to.
Yeah. What are you expecting from Black Friday this year?
I think more of the same. I mean, one of the challenges of Black Friday, I think, is from us as a business, is that so many people have now jumped on the bandwagon. And for example, if you want to get voice in the market, it's very expensive. Mm. So from our perspective, we don't necessarily we're not planning on going. We've got a number of campaigns planned, and we're going to do some exciting things, we believe, but probably less on the traditional front, because I think even now with the offline retailers jumping onto Black Friday, it's become so noisy. I think we can do more, better things outside of without jumping onto that bandwagon as much.
Interesting. So if you want to find out more about Bob Group, what's your website?
bob.co.za.
Bob.co.za. Had you registered that already?
Or? No, I had to do some of my backdoor negotiations with someone who had the domain squatter that had that domain.
Okay. Hopefully you didn't pay too much for it.
Not too much, no. But I've had a fair bit of experience in my career of negotiating buying domains. So I'll put that to good work.
Great. Andy, before I let you go, I have to ask you about the elephant in the room, that's of course the rumors. Nothing's been confirmed yet, rumors, but it appears it's coming. And that's the launch of an Amazon marketplace in South Africa, which is going to obviously compete head-on with Naspers and Takealot. And, of course, we've got Walmart in this country as well, which is now buying out what it didn't already own in Massmart and has already said that e-commerce is going to be a big focus for them in this market. And we know that Walmart is a big player in e-commerce in the U.S. and is competing head-on with Amazon there. What do you make of all this? What is the importance of it? What's going to happen?
Super interesting. I think another good example to relate to is what happened in India, where Amazon came in and Walmart bought the incumbent there called Flipkart.
From Naspers. Naspers was a big
one of the shareholders. I think, I guess you, if you look at history, it's possibly likely that it might repeat itself. I think they're still very much head to head in India at the moment with the big battle. So I think the consumer is going to be the ultimate real winner out of this, because they're going to be the real beneficiary. Because in South Africa now you've got Takealot, you can throw them in, and we're throwing our hats in the ring as well.
Yes.
So it's going to be very interesting. I think there will probably be some consolidation at some point as well. I think that what's happened in other markets. But if you look, so my personal view, just my opinion, I've tried to look, we at least have the benefit of seeing what's happened in other markets, because Amazon have come in a number of markets already and launched the marketplace. So I would imagine you could learn what they, the way they've approached entering those markets is likely to be similar to how they're going to launch here. And from what I can tell, it's not this big bang approach. Mm-hmm. It's very slow. I mean, so they're very obviously not to be underestimated by any means.
Sure.
But I think it's going to take quite a while to ramp up. So it's almost like this slow but moving machine. But once they get momentum, I think it will take time, but they will definitely become a major force to be reckoned with. Likewise for Walmart as well, I think. So it's going to be interesting. I think for us, we're going to try and differentiate ourselves as the smaller player. I think, and we believe we can be more agile and more adaptable. And we're going to take a bit of a different approach. So I think I mentioned the decentralized versus centralized approach on the logistics.
Yep.
Obviously we have the auctions as well. We're going to focus more like where Amazon would have heard them talk about them aspiring to be the most customer centric company in the world.
Mm.
We like that approach as well. And I think TakeLot has also adopted that sort of philosophy, but we actually believe, there's a bit of an imbalance in the market where the buyers is actually, it's too much towards the buyer. And we want to focus on making the seller, the merchant, our hero of, and really empowering them to do well so that they can then provide this excellent service to their customers. And I don't know if you've seen, but there's Competition Commission have released an interim report
on
what they have suggested might be considered, abuse of dominant power in the market. No guesses who that was predominantly aimed at. And we think there is some truth in that, it needs to be a fairer playing field. And we think that sellers to some extent can be discriminated against. And we want to treat sellers better, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can see on the logo here. I didn't see this at first, but if you turn your head a bit to the right, you might see that it actually, hopefully you can see that it makes up a hand.
Yes, that's what I saw. Yeah.
And that's very intentional from our side. Yeah. So we want to be that helping hand to the sellers and to the merchants. So we have a number of ways where we believe we can actually approach this e-commerce challenge in South Africa differently. And so you won't necessarily see us doing going head to head directly with those the big guys. Yeah.
It's interesting though what you say about sort of a slowly approach. And certainly Walmart's been in the market for some time. I think they bought Massmart about 10 or 12 years ago now. And they've been slowly building up, and they've actually been accelerating their e-commerce investments in the last few years. It looks like Amazon is taking an organic approach, investing in warehouse capacity, coming in, starting to build themselves. I suppose they know all the logistics game backwards. But it was a little surprising to me. Was it surprising to you that they didn't come in and buy TakeALot or one of the other players in the market?
I personally was not that surprised. I understand why many people would be. I think maybe, I mean, Naspers, I'm sure, has high expectations on this asset that they've created, which they've done. It's a great job, right? Mm. So I imagine if they had to do the analysis of the buy versus build from a pure financial point of view, it's probably not going to, the accountants are probably not going to look too favorably on that, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I really know, though.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens and whether one of these big global giants decides at some point that they need to buy to gain scale, which is what we saw in India.
Yes.
Could the same thing happen here at some point, do you think?
I think it's very possible, for sure. I somehow have my gut feeling tells me that we're not going to necessarily play out that way though in South Africa. I'm not sure exactly why, but that's just a feeling I have. I think they're going to come in and invest and grow organically is my gut feeling. Yeah.
Interesting. It's going to certainly be a fascinating time for e-commerce in the next few years ahead. And I think we must get you back in the studio at some point, Andy, to look at how things are unfolding and find out how Bob Group is doing. But I thank you for joining us here today and all the best with your new venture.
Thank you very much, Duncan. I appreciate it.